Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, and welcome to this edition of the BlueTech Tasting Menu. My name is Divya Inna. I'm a water technology market analyst at BlueTech Research. BlueTech Forum 2017 is just around the corner with 4 weeks to go. And as you may know, we're hosting a series of different roundtables this year. But one in particular I'd like to highlight to you. BlueTech, together with CDP, will lead a session focused around the A-list companies. This session will be an interactive roundtable format meeting where industrial and utility end users will be invited to identify key innovation challenges in their business, the challenges they have, and the solutions that are required. Corporate companies will outline the industrial needs and challenges they face. The session will also detail their experiences of working with technology companies and provide example case studies. Now, to give you an idea, participating companies include Irish Water, Microsoft, Nestle, L'Oreal, Anglian Water, ABP Food Group, the US EPA, and the Metsä Board. We'll announce more in the next coming weeks. So this week, we've caught up with Nestle, who will share with us some summary points on what they'll discuss on their roundtable at the forum. We also then chat with Menno Holtermann, CEO of Nyhaus Industries. Nyhaus Water Technologies is a leading provider of water wastewater treatment technologies based in the Netherlands. Menno will be giving a keynote speech where he will provide an overview of key industrial market trends. He'll also be facilitating a roundtable on the topic of corporate sustainability and the circular economy, which very much ties into the theme of this week's podcast. So without further ado, let's get started. The concept of circular economy is a broad one, but in general, it is the principle of being less dependent on finite resources and transitioning to renewable resources. It also presents an opportunity to accelerate and scale up recent scientific research and drive advanced technology adoption. A number of companies that I mentioned earlier, the A-list companies of corporates, there's certainly a need for new technology solutions to enable them to go beyond their current targets or sustainability goals. And this really drives the question for this week, which is, how can we incorporate the idea of circular economy in the water sector? Let's first hear from Nestle on some of the work they've been doing in this area. We have Michael Corkery from Nestle on the line. Nestle will present at this year's BlueTech Forum in June as part of a series of roundtables we're doing just for corporates. Michael, thank you for joining us today. We have many listeners who are interested to know how water affects Nestle, but perhaps to start with, as an introduction, can you explain to us what your role is within Nestle's water corporate management?
Okay, so my name is Michael Corkery. I'm Irish. I'm working for Nestle for the last 8 years in the headquarters in Switzerland. I'm working in the corporate engineering department and I'm responsible for water management in our 450 or so factories worldwide.
Now, sustainability is increasingly a priority for companies in that we see water risk is affecting their bottom line. And I suspect Nestle is no different. One of Nestle's key business principles is water conservation by cutting water consumption. How is Nestle meeting its current sustainability goals to manage water more effectively?
Yeah, so we are currently on track to meet our 2020 commitment on water. So we have a 2020 commitment to reduce our water consumption versus our consumption in 2010 by 35%.
Wow.
Per meter cube per ton finished product. So we're still on track. We're about 25% achieved by 2016. So we've essentially need to meet about 3.5% each year until 2020 to meet the target of minus 35%. So we have a number of initiatives. I suppose everything can be under the umbrella of what we call the three R's. So we have the reduce, reuse, and recycle. So we're asking all our factories to optimize their water consumption, to have basically what we call target setting and using different tools that we have internally where they can see what our factories have done, other factories have done in terms of reducing their water consumption, and then applying, if you like, the same best practice in their factory. So that's for all our factories. Then for a certain number of factories which are in, I would say, high water scarcity or water stressed locations, we go even further. So in these factories we invest in technologies that allow us to reuse and recycle water back into the process. Particularly, for example, what we have is dairy sector, particularly is milk water. So we have fresh milk coming in the factory, and essentially to make a powdered product or a liquid concentrate product, we evaporate a lot of the water off the milk. And this water is actually of very high quality, and with some simple treatment steps, we can reuse this water as drinkable water back in our process. So that's just an example of how far we can go in certain factories. And in one of our factories in Mexico, in fact, we made it a completely zero water withdrawal factory by using the milk water.
Whoa, yeah, I know the 3R is something that we've heard from other large corporates too. You mentioned dairy products is obviously one of Nestlé's biggest products, along with other culinary products and other beverage products too. So with the diverse products that Nestlé has, what are some of the key challenges in treating the different types of wastewater, you know, especially when you talk about water reuse?
Yeah, many different product ranges, and in some factories we have seven different products even on the one site, which means that the water in each of our factories can be somewhat different. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest challenges we have are with some of the products that generate a lot of colour in the wastewater, thinking particularly of our soluble coffee, which is in our beverage division. So coffee tends to produce a wastewater which has quite a high amount of colour, and even though we treat this wastewater to meet the local norms and to meet our internal standard for COD and BOD and suspended solids, for example, the wastewater can even still have quite a lot of colour, and even though this colour isn't really of any negative impact on the environment, it can give a negative image, let's say, of our wastewater. So we have to apply some technologies to reduce the colour and to eliminate the colour in our effluent. So some of those technologies are membranes, and they actually allow us then on the positive side to have actually a very high quality of water at the outlet, which we can eventually reuse in our cooling towers, for example.
Right. Great. Thanks very much for speaking with us, Michael. We look forward to meeting you at the forum and certainly attending your roundtable. To the wider audience out there, Michael will be hosting a roundtable at the forum, and we'll be presenting Nestlé's interest in water in terms of what Nestlé's industrial needs are and how does Nestlé plan and select its new water technologies. We look forward, Michael. Thank you.
That's all. You're very welcome.
Next, Paul O'Callaghan, BlueTech Research CEO, along with Natasha Wiseman and myself, will speak to Nyhouse Industries CEO Menner Holtemann on key trends in the industrial market.
The keynote will provide a global perspective on trends in industrial water management. I think Nyhouse is uniquely positioned because of the global reach that you have, but also the connection to your clients and your ability to know what they're doing. And when we spoke, you mentioned examples from Argentina to Ghana to Russia to Asia, and that allows us to build a picture which brings in water reuse, energy neutrality, food water nexus, and a lot of interesting themes. So you know, I'm hoping you can give an outline of what you'd like to speak about.
All right, okay. I still remember our first BlueTech participation in San Francisco, followed by the Amsterdam meeting. And I remember from those days that there was a big discussion about how to get more involvement of different industries in solving some of the water challenges around the world, driven by water scarcity, driven by the lack of groundwater, aquifers drying up, etc., etc. I believe that the industry is really making a lot of progress. And that's what we also see in a lot of our projects around the world, where our teams and where my colleagues are challenged to solve some of the real challenges, but also by bringing integrated solutions. And I think that's a big challenge, because we have seen over the last couple of years that solving the water challenges was basically going in a step-by-step approach. And now you see that clients are really asking for an integrated solution, including, for example, operation and maintenance. I think that's a seismic shift. We also see that a lot of industries, and especially those you also have invited to participate now in Dublin, are making water reuse, for example, mandatory. And let's say till about 2 years ago, water reuse was always requested on a greenfield project. It's seldom implemented because of the high cost and not having, let's say, a business case to pay back the investment. And now we see that all these large corporations have decided to make water reuse mandatory, and not only on greenfield projects, but already on a lot of brownfield projects and upgrades and extension of existing plants. We see that water reuse now is becoming a part of the integrated approach they're implementing to reduce their water footprint inside the plant, and looking for ways to operate in a more sustainable and circular manner.
Yes, exactly. At the forum, we'll get more into more detail, such as what factors have contributed to that shift. I mean, those changes you've seen over the past 4 to 5 years, we'd like to hear your thoughts on if you think it's corporate social responsibility. Is it the ability of solution providers to deliver integrated packages now that make it easier for clients, or if there are any other factors that are involved? But we'll certainly like to hear more about that, Menno, at the forum.
But we see, once again, that these global key accounts are taking their responsibility and starting to implement these kind of measures. And I think it's a matter of time before some of the clients will also start to use, especially in areas where water scarcity is having a serious impact, that also effluent is going to be used in some of their primary requests. I think that's one of the questions which we could discuss during the forum. Why are certain industries hesitating to reuse treated effluent in their process? How can we influence the marketing people to deal with that in a different way?
They need a massive amount of water and nutrients. So the same amount of water which they need in a town of 800,000 people is going to be, or 500,000 to 600,000 people, is going to be needed to serve such a large greenhouse. If you are already running out of water in the town, how are you going to serve your needs in such a large greenhouse?
I was interviewing a gentleman last year talking about halophytes and the change to salt-tolerant crops. Is that something that you've seen or have been close to?
Yeah, definitely of interest. But again, if you talk about some of the vegetables, if you talk about tomatoes, cucumbers, if you talk about salads, then they cannot grow on saline water. But the big question is there going to be a solution to deal with the demand? If you look to the amount of tomatoes or cucumbers which are required to serve a city like Beijing, these cannot be grown on the open agricultural land. Therefore, you need to have a more intensified environment.
Thank you, Menno. That was great. Very, very useful for us to know what will be discussed at the forum. We look forward to attending your roundtable. Well, we've heard some very interesting points that Menno has raised, and even earlier from Michael Corkery. And next week, we'll be speaking to two other corporates from two different industries. We'll be speaking to L'Oreal from the cosmetic industry, as well as ABP Food Group, that'll talk to us about their fat recovery and water reuse goals. Look forward to seeing you guys then. Thank you.